greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Certainly good to be here. Good to worship together. Turn with me for a text to 1 Chronicles 29. I'd like to speak on the subject of consecration this morning. Now, I don't very often, maybe this is a confession, I almost never look at the Sunday school lesson when I preach. I thought about doing it last night. I saw a book lying there and somehow never got it done. And I didn't realize how closely this subject ties into the Sunday school. 1 Chronicles 29. I'd like to read the first 5 verses here. This context is David is passing on the kingdom to Solomon, and David's concern is the house of God and making sure that Solomon builds. That was David's number one concern, is that Solomon built that house and he prepared for it. And that's what these verses are about here. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold, for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, and onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the house withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? What is consecration? Is consecration dedication? I looked it up in the dictionary, and by definition, to dedicate is to consecrate, to set apart for the worship of a deity or devote to a specific purpose. To consecrate means to devote entirely, to dedicate, to consecrate one's life to art. That's an example. To consecrate one's life to whatever. Really, there's probably not a lot of difference between the two terms, to consecrate or dedicate. But normally, maybe this is just my thinking, but normally when we talk about dedicating, we dedicate something. We dedicate a portion or a part of our income, or we dedicate something, a segment. And when you consecrate something, it's not that way. When you consecrate something, it's the whole thing. It's the whole life. The second thing that I think about is consecration involves not things but people. pretends to be. Now, you can have a dedicated life. You can dedicate your life to service. But a consecrated life is a little bit different in that it's a two-part relationship. It's both God and me working together, and God works with me as a free moral agent to dedicate my life. And that's consecration. Just for an example, we have a dedication often when we build a church house. We dedicate that house to the service or to the kingdom of God. That's what it's for. It's dedicated. It's got a specific purpose. That's what it's for. But the church house really doesn't have anything to do in the decision-making process. It's dedicated. But it didn't decide that. See, in consecration, there's that aspect of my volition saying yes to that act. I'd like to draw a lot from Exodus 28. Exodus 28 and 29 are about the priest. Now, in some senses, it almost sounds like as we read the passage that Aaron and his sons didn't have any choice in the matter. God said, told Moses, you take Aaron, your brother, you take his sons, and you consecrate them. And this is what you do, and this is how you do it. And there is a tremendous, there's two chapters here. Basically two chapters, and there's quite a few in Leviticus that also go over this process, and we're not going to look at all that in detail. That's a very interesting study, but just want to pull out a few verses here. Exodus 28. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto them that are, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted. And this is very interesting here. I got to get this straight. This word, or this phrase that's translated, whom I filled, is the word that's many other places translated consecrate. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. You see this two-part thing of God doing the calling, God doing the filling, and then Aaron and his sons being there. And it's very interesting as you think about what they gave up. They gave up everything. They gave up their entire lives. They gave up their entire future. It wasn't just Aaron and his sons. It was from then on, they're consecrated to the priesthood, as far as they could see. And in bringing this subject of consecration to us today, maybe I should have organize this a little better, but God already has done a work for us. God already has, that's done. God has done his part. And I think it's important for us to understand what's God's part and what's our part. Some people make a big deal out of that. I'm not sure sometimes if we should or if we shouldn't, but God has already done his part. God is perfectly faithful. He's always done his part. But God already did make the first move. And he, for many of us, has revealed his son in me, as Paul says in Galatians. He already did that. And now it's up to us to respond to that. And this, like I mentioned with Aaron, this thing of consecration involved everything. It involved his work. His work became to administer in the house of the Lord. That was his work. There was nothing else he was to do. He wasn't even to go out among the people. He was dedicated to that work. What he wore, that's one of the first things that we read there. What he wore was very important. Who he married, even how he mourned for the dead. There was specific instructions given. If his father or if his mother died, he was not to uncover his head. He was not to rend his garments. He was not to mourn. He was consecrated. As you think about consecration, it involves everything. We read here that Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron there. You remember that they took strange fire and offered that to the Lord. And really, in that act of choosing to do that, they decided, they made a choice to not be consecrated anymore. And they were slain with fire. But what I was going to say about that is, at that time, God told Moses to tell Aaron, don't you mourn. You go ahead and you do your priest office as though nothing happened. You can read that in Leviticus there, where that happened. As I think about consecration, this message is for me. It's for all of God's children. But I think about my own life and the difficulty that sometimes I have in surrender. And if you think about it logically, if a person is consecrated, there should be no issues with surrender. Just as things come, as the difficulties in life come, like some we're talking about this morning, we should just be able to go along with them because we're consecrated. We're given up. We're God's. We're not our own. We're not in control of the circumstance. We're consecrated. We're given to him. And I think about the practical parts of my life. And I'm not sure sometimes if I'm consecrated or, where I'm at and all that. Consecration affects every part. How I think, what I bought. We cannot spell out as a body or as a church, we cannot spell out everything that is right and wrong to do. You know that. And I wonder sometimes just where our focus is or where our commitment is or where we are as people. Some of the things that happen, and I think about my own life. Are we really consecrated? Have we really committed everything? And we're afraid to consecrate. We're afraid to give it up because of, well, I'll have to give up that pickup or, you know, whatever, that business. Maybe I'll have to give that up or my job or whatever. And that is very real. That is true, that God requires that kind of allegiance to Him. It is true. And sometimes we will quickly say, well, yes, but God has something better for you. Just give it up and go on, and God has something better for you. Really? Not if you're consecrated, not if you're entirely committed. God, it might mean death. Has for hundreds and thousands of people. It's meant death. Yes, God does have something better for us, but maybe not in this life. I'd like to turn to a couple of scriptures in the New Testament here. Matthew 6. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And we look at this scripture and, well, that's one of the things that Jesus said that I don't understand. That's because I have to make a living. You don't understand. I have to make money. We live in America. We have to have a house to live in. We live in the northern hemisphere, so it gets cold. How does that fit into consecration? What does it mean to be consecrated? What does Jesus mean? Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Another scripture here, Luke 9. We know these scriptures by heart. Luke 9. And he said unto them, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now think about this consecration. We cannot have a divided heart. We cannot have a heart that desires stuff, desires the things of the world, desires all the niceties It's not going to work. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Maybe answer some of that question here in a little bit about how do we look at those verses. I just simply have down here what it looks like. What does consecration look like? Consecrated people are God conscious. They are God aware. And that controls or that dictates everything that they do. I'm burdened about people today, and I know that I have done many, many foolish things enough to enough. And I just wonder what people are thinking sometimes. Supposed to be people of God, and practical things, everyday things. They do things that are so ungodly. Consecrated people have that internal regulation and internal motivation on what is right and what is wrong. And they don't need a lot of fences. They don't push the fences that they have. They don't need that. I'm not saying this is not my subject. I'm not saying that we don't need fences. We probably do. But truly consecrated people do not. They don't need that fence out there to prohibit them from going across it. That's just, the fence is really oblivious to them. We do need fences. We do need church standards so that we maintain consecrated people. But like Joseph, they have a fear of God. And they have an inner conscience, an inner light of what is right and wrong. And they are guided by that inner light. There's divine law. Matters what God says. Doesn't matter who does it or who approves it. Peer pressure really becomes a non-issue because they're God conscious. That's what it looks like. I don't have near everything down here that I should probably. I didn't think about everything that it could be, but another thing I thought about is their life. Their life's attitude or their life, what their life says is that I'm all for the kingdom. That's what their life says. I'd like to turn to scripture on this one. And 1 Corinthians 16. I beseech you, brethren, And then there's this parenthesis. Ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Just think about that a little bit. That is a family that is consecrated. They've addicted themselves. They're the kind of people that constantly give beyond their power. Again, that's quoting from Paul. I'm not even sure what the circumstance was there. But they give beyond what they really should, beyond their power. And that's how David did. In his preparation for the house of God, he gave like that. And then he gives this invitation, who then is willing to consecrate his service? And really, this here kind of goes back to those verses. It talks about that they first gave themselves. And that really is what God is looking for in consecration. We worry about, well, how am I going to make a living? And how am I going to provide? And how am I, if I consecrate myself, I might not get married. And I want to get married. All those questions. That really doesn't matter after we've consecrated ourselves. But that really is what God is looking for, is that we first give ourselves to the Lord. Another thing consecration looks like, we are obedient, and maybe that is connected to this God consciousness. But I'm concerned about my own life, and that the compromise sometimes that I'm willing to compromise, and people that are consecrated do not compromise. They don't compromise principle. They don't compromise the things that God has said, thou shalt not. They will not be defiled with sin. They won't be defiled. People that are truly consecrated. And again, we cannot spell out everything that needs to happen. And maybe we need some more consecration. And I've wondered about this thing of persecution. Would persecution solve the problem? We live in an exception. You know that, right? This is not the norm. We live in a free country, and that is not the norm. What's it been? 300 years maybe of relative peace? That is not the normal. It's not even the normal for the bulk of Christians today. The normal is persecution. And I've wondered what would happen, but I'm not sure if that's all the answer either. You think about the time of the Anabaptists and when they were sorely persecuted. There was the halfway Anabaptists. There was the people that were sympathetic. But when it come down to it, they would compromise. Am I a halfway? Is that, maybe that's what our whole church is made up of. I hope not. But halfway Anabaptists. If it really comes down to it, I wouldn't die for my faith. That's good for us to think about. And I don't know if I can answer that. I've struggled with that. I've thought about that. Would I die if it actually came down to that? Would I die for the name of the Lord Jesus? Maybe in a way I've made this thing of consecration sound like it's a once and done thing, and I think there is that aspect where we consecrate ourselves and then God works with us and there's an ongoing. He does perfect that. But it does have a beginning. We do say yes to God. We say everything is God's. There is that point. But then I do think that it continues. And we continue to make choices. I guess that's my call this morning, is that we think about that. And we think about the choices we're making today. And are we consecrated? Are we truly given up? Have we done everything? Think about Paul and his testimony. Let's see, Acts. We just had that in Sunday school. Acts 20 something. I think it's 21. Paul is saying that he's going to be bound. Oh, wait a minute here. This is Agabus came down from Jerusalem and he bound Paul's girdle. Paul says in verse 13, Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That's consecration. That was commitment, we say. And I've often wondered, am I there? I think counting the cost is important. We do that at the beginning. And I think how we count the cost makes a difference as to our level of commitment. And what I'm thinking about is, again, the early Anabaptists, as they counted the cost, they knew that it meant death. Today, in a lot of ways, we find approval by making that choice. Is that fair? Are we really thinking through it correctly? We find approval by choosing to be a Christian. Like I said, we have it so easy, too easy. We're tempted with this false Christianity that's all around us, that we can name the name of the Lord Jesus and do whatever we want. It really doesn't do it. It doesn't affect my life. That is false. That religion is headed for hell. I think we need to reckon with that in our own minds. That is false Christianity. Jesus says very plainly over and over again, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. We're tempted today to let down the bar, to let it weigh down. Let anybody step through. Let anything step through. It's unreal. It's false. It's not true Christianity. And we find a lot of lack of commitment because of that. I keep looking at that clock and it doesn't move. One thing I'd like to think about yet is that God will find consecrated people. If he doesn't find it at Pine Grove, he'll find it somewhere else. God will find consecrated people. He will find people that are ready to die for him. If he doesn't find it in Washington, he's going to find it in Oregon. If he doesn't find it in the U.S., he'll find it in some other country. And I wonder if that isn't happening. And as we think about Christianity today, I'm talking about as a whole. I really wonder if that isn't happening. God is finding consecrated people elsewhere. And I don't think that necessarily means we need to go somewhere else. We do need to be consecrated. We need to consecrate ourselves this day to the Lord. Shall we kneel in prayer?